Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey, welcome to the Coco Express show for Saturday, April 27th, 2013. It's that special Saturday for us to have none other than Paradigm Shifters with Steve Duncanson, Mario Ocasio, and we have a special guest, but let me not hold that back.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success. Hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. We thank you very much for taking the time to be here. And I know that I say that every month that we get together, but I really want you guys to know that I appreciate the time that you invest in building yourself and allowing both Marilyn and myself to contribute to your growth and development. We really appreciate it. So we want to let you know we do not take that for granted. And as I mentioned, Marilyn, know that she is on the air with us today. Marilyn, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you for being here, too. And I know that we're always people that are going someplace always get something to do. And so I know you had a meeting this morning, and you're taking the time out for the show now with our listeners, and we're really glad. Hey, last weekend you did a Harv Eker event, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and it was an absolutely amazing event, and I hope that people can really get to experience this because it was absolutely amazing.
What was it called?
The Millionaire Mind Intensive. The Millionaire Mind Intensive, and it's all about changing your mindset. That's what it's about.
So it's not just about making money, then?
It's not just about making money, and life is not just about making money, because even if you were a millionaire, what is it that's going to make you truly happy? It's the love that you have from one another is what's going to give you that happiness. All the money in the world cannot buy that. But we deserve to have abundance, and we deserve many things. But we are so conditioned since we are children to believe one way. And what the Millionaire Mind Intensive does is they actually change the blueprint of your mind and how to achieve success and achieve your dreams, achieve the things that you want, and what truly makes you happy. And it's absolutely amazing. Everyone there had a breakthrough. And to see my friends, that was priceless. To see my friend have a breakthrough, it was absolutely, that was amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's so great to do things that resonate with your own personal message, right? To create congruence in your life, that you may be doing a lot of things, but they coincide with one another. In other words, they're not disparate. And I think that's what allows you to generate some great traction, like doing things that are consistent with your life message. And you mentioned a key word there, the blueprint of your mind. And I know we talked about just a couple of weeks ago, actually, we always talk about this. And this past week, I read a quote that I think you and I may have mentioned before. I think it was Dr. Carl Jung said it, that he said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Right. And so we recognize that we are run not by our conscious, but by our subconscious mind. You know, I'm getting excited because of the guest that we have with us today, actually, that you met and introduced us to the program. And I'm really looking forward to hearing his story and unleashing him on our audience. So if you would, please, Marilyn, please introduce us to our guest today.
Sure. I have the pleasure to introduce Scott Schmerin. And I think he is a great example and an inspiration for people that want to accomplish success in their life. And I think that he has an amazing story to share. Scott, are you with us?
I'm here.
Great. Well, Scott.
Maybe so much, Dr. Bean.
Thank you for having me.
We're really looking forward to hearing from you, Scott, as I read your bio and some things about your company, what is it you're doing, and to see the results. You know, it's not just you know the stuff, you've applied it, and because you applied it, I think that raises your level of credibility with regard to the information you're going to share. So, Scott, we'd like to welcome you to our program, and first I do want to make sure that our guests, our listeners know what your website is, your website information for contact. So let's begin with that, and then you begin to tell us about who Scott Schmarin is and your story, please.
All right. Well, if people want to reach me, my website is yourultimatevisionarymind.com. Or if they want to get a hold of me directly, they can email me at scott@ultimatevisionarymind.com.
Great.
So a little bit about me. You want to know about me?
Yes, please.
I walk around with a vision I have in my mind all the time. It excites me. It gets me out of bed every day. It gives me goosebumps still thinking about it all the time. And my vision is that each person I meet really discovers how amazing they are by tapping into the visionary part of their mind, their subconscious mind, and they realize that they already have everything inside of them they need to accomplish all of their goals, their dreams and their visions, everything, to live the life they want, happiness, success, love, health, everything. And they make that connection and they start to accomplish those things and they begin to live the life they've always wanted to live with no limits. Mm-hmm. And then in my vision, they begin to share it. And they share it with everybody around them, the people they work with, their friends, their family. I mean, think about it. How amazing would our kids' lives be if at a very young age they really discovered their amazingness and that they had no limits? How many more Einsteins and Gandhis and Mother Teresas will we create in this world? And in my vision, you begin to share the success you have, and you realize that there are things that you learn that you can teach to other people. And then those people's lives begin to get better, and then this chain keeps going and growing more powerful. We create a new consciousness, a new energy, and the world becomes a better place. And for me, that vision started a long time ago when I was a kid. I was this little boy with a twinkle in his eye and a little voice in his mind saying, you know, you need to help people. You need to make a difference in this world. And that's who you are and what you are, and that's your mission in life. And you would have noticed me when I was a little kid. I was the fat kid. I was really heavy. People teased me. They called me names, Fatso, Tubby, Piggy. There were a lot of them. And the names really hurt. And they started to take their toll on me, and I started to withdraw from the world. And my social life and my skills were really being developed by the refrigerator and the TV, and I began to withdraw from the world. The more I withdrew, the more I ate, and this horrible cycle continued, using food to find love, or trying to find love, happiness, trying to feel a sense of purpose. And I remember times when I was a kid, like I remember being in grade school, and every year they would do the president's program on physical fitness. I don't know if you guys remember doing stuff like that in grade school.
Yeah, sure do. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and all week long it'd be different kinds. It'd be all different things. You know, different exercises, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, all kinds of ups. Mm-hmm. And none of them I did really well. But the reality is the part I dreaded the most every year is I knew that they were going to weigh us in on one of the days, and I was always the heaviest kid. And I had a particularly sadistic gym teacher who thought it was wise to weigh us from the lightest to the heaviest kid. And I knew it was coming every year. And the same thing would happen the day of the weigh-in. Everybody else would be weighed in. It would just be me. And I was always hoping there'd be some other new kid that would be heavier than me so I would lose my title of being the heaviest kid. And then the call would come out from the gym teacher and he'd say, okay, Schmarin and anybody else who's left, well, there never was anybody else. It was just me. And I'd weigh in, I'd go up there, and everybody would laugh, and they would cheer, and it'd be exciting for them, and it was funny. But for me, it sucked. And I started losing that little voice in my mind. And there were times in my life where I couldn't deal with it anymore. And at one point in my life, I gave up on myself. I quit. I didn't care anymore.
What was the turning point? Where was the moment when you said enough is enough? Was there? Can you pinpoint one area in your life
Marilyn.
When you said you made that decision and how you did it?
Yes. Well, what happened was is I got to a point where I just didn't care. I didn't want to live anymore. And one day, I decided the pain was too great, and I gave up. I didn't want to live anymore. So I took a bunch of pills. And I remember putting them in a little paper Dixie cup, going to my bathroom, and I just stared at that little cup for a long time saying, well, is this really the answer? And I remember looking in the mirror, and I saw nothing back at me. And I took the pills. I decided that this was my answer. So I remember taking all these pills, a bunch of painkillers and sleeping pills, and I remember sitting down in a chair, closing my eyes, and waiting to die. And I remember at some point I must have lost consciousness, and somewhere during the time I woke up in a panic from the drugs and from the fear and realizing what I had actually done to myself. I remember getting physically sick and puking, and I passed out again for hours. And when I woke up, the sun was shining, and the first thing I thought is I had a sense of peace that I actually had died. And then I realized that I was alive. I realized in that moment that I was just given a second chance to live, and I realized that I was here for a purpose, for a reason. Mm. And it was like a giant lightning bolt came out of the sky and it struck me between the eyes, and it penetrated all the excuses, all the blame, all the BS I've been feeding myself all these years, of all the stuff that was getting in the way of me realizing how amazing I am. And I started to cry. I cried for a long time. First they were tears of frustration, anger, for I was mad at myself for what I had done to myself the previous night, and really what I had been doing to myself my entire life. And then they became tears of joy because they washed away all the things that were getting in the way of me realizing how really great I really was. And
what was it that was standing in the way? What was it that was standing in the way?
It was a lot of the limiting beliefs. I realized in that moment I became awake and aware, and I became present. And I realized that I was responsible for my life. It wasn't anybody else's fault that I was heavy or that I was depressed or I was angry and frustrated. It was my fault. It was my frustrations. I was in control. And I realized in that moment that I controlled my life. I was the master of me. And I realized that I was responsible for today, tomorrow, and for every day after that. And so I got up out of the chair I was sitting in, and really, if I think about it, I was probably sitting in that chair most of my life, hiding from the world. And I started to work on myself. I started working on changing my values and my beliefs. I used and learned and studied a lot of very powerful skills and techniques, and I just really developed a lot of really interesting things. And I started working on my values and my beliefs, my perceptions and how I saw myself, my goals, my dreams, and my visions, what I wanted out of my life. And my first goal I remember setting was to be able to go out in public and not be noticed for being the fat guy.
Okay.
And then when I accomplished that, I wanted more. I realized there was a whole lifetime of experiences that I never had. I either avoided them, I couldn't do them, and I wanted them, and I wanted to recapture my youth and vitality. I wanted to be young. I had so many things I wanted to do that I had never done. And then I started helping people. People would do a double take. They hadn't seen me in years, and they weren't sure if it was me because they looked so much different. I lost 180 pounds.
Whoa.
It was at my heaviest. When I was at my heaviest, I'm not real tall. I'm 5'6". I weighed over 350 pounds, and I had a 56-inch waist. I was
almost
as big around as I was tall. and here I am. I'm going to be 51 years old in 2 weeks, and I am young. I am strong. I feel good. I'm in great physical condition. I am living the life that I've always wanted to live.
Congratulations.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
I have a question for you because you said you lost 180 pounds, and I know there are a lot of listeners, I know a lot of people that say they try dieting, they try exercising, they start a program, and they just go back to their old habits. So what did you try, and what did you do to help you accomplish that, and what advice can you give those listeners to be able to do the same?
Marilyn, that's a great question. And first, I was just like everybody else. I would lose 50 pounds, gain it back, 100 pounds, gain it back. And the reality is, in regards to weight loss, actually in regards to everything, it's about change. And it's not about diet and exercise. Yes, those are tools. And diet and exercise are tools, but they are not the answer. If I were to give you the most expensive Stradivarius violin and said, can you play me a song, that violin wouldn't be worth very much to you because you don't know how to use it. And it's really, it has to do with change. And, you know, I work with people losing weight, all kinds of things, finding happiness and love, increasing their sales, growing their business, athletes, everything. But it's all the same thing. It's about change. And until you change the perception of how you see yourself in your mind, you're not going to lose weight. I struggled with that conflict a good part of my life where consciously I wanted to make this change. I couldn't stand the way I was physically, mentally, and spiritually. And then I'd lose some weight. But there's always this, I was like always with a battle with myself saying, I would end up one day just as heavy as I was before, and I really didn't understand why. And you've got to make the fundamental changes. Like you talked about earlier, you talked about, you know, going into your subconscious mind, and that it has to become a reality in your subconscious mind first, and it's really your all-powerful king. And that was the difference. When I was able to change the perception I've had of myself, where I wasn't getting some secondary gain, even if it sounds crazy or convoluted, in being heavy, which we rationalize our bad behaviors, once I changed that shift and everything made sense to eat better foods, to exercise more, to take care of myself. So it comes with a fundamental shift in changing how we think. And unfortunately, we usually address it the wrong way with saying, okay, eat this and get on the treadmill and do that. And that's not really how it works.
So you said in the very beginning, as you were discussing things, Scott, that you said that you had it inside of you all along to achieve the things that you wanted to achieve, and that our listeners, everybody, we all have it. And so the question becomes, if we have inside of us what's necessary to achieve the success or whatever the results we're looking for, then why aren't we experiencing it? If we have it, why aren't we experiencing it?
Well, I think it's a great question. You know, as human beings, we're born with very little, and our perceptions and our values and beliefs come from where we grow up and the environment that we're in. And a lot of times we end up getting very limited values and beliefs, and we adopted those things because that's what we were exposed to all the time. And we hear things all the time, you're too fat, you're too dumb, you're too stupid, you can't do this, you can't do that. And you hear something enough, and your subconscious mind says, okay, I guess it must be true. You know, I look at your subconscious mind as an all-powerful king. It'll do whatever you instruct it to do, good or bad. And the moment you give it a clear, sharp picture with purpose and conviction, it'll work for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when you're sleeping, trying to make it happen, making you aware of things that'll make it happen. But unfortunately, it's got the mentality of a two-year-old. It'll believe whatever you tell it to be true. So if you give it bad things, it'll let you do those things, and then it'll rationalize why you should be doing them. I mean, if everything we did was logical at a conscious level, no one would ever smoke a cigarette, no one would ever be a drug addict or an alcoholic, and no one that ever lost weight would ever put it back on. But the reality is we hold these images inside of us, and most people go through life, they're not even aware of it. They're unconscious in their consciousness.
And you mentioned this aspect of holding a vision. So two things specifically, self-limiting beliefs and holding your vision. Can you connect those two or talk about those two for our listeners?
Well, I think that, I'm a big fan of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. And Napoleon Hill always talked about having a vision, or he called it a definite major purpose.
Right.
And taking that and focusing all your attention on it, and then setting up your goals around that. And then, you know, in fact, he always talked about, in the work I do with people, he said, you know, focus all your conscious energy and your thoughts on your major purpose in life, then turn it over to your subconscious mind, and then hand it over to the infinite intelligence of the universe. And that's really what I do. I mean, I am on a mission, and in order for me to be on that mission and accomplish it, which is, you know, my goal is to help more than 1 million people really discover how amazing they are. And I come from the place, when I say I think that everybody has what they have inside of them, they have what they need inside of them already. I work with people on an individual basis all the time, and even in groups, and they come to me and they're looking for a certain part of them that they don't have, but they have it in the other areas of their life, and they don't realize they're tapping into that resource. And it's just a question of letting their mind become aware of it and then moving those resources over. I give you a perfect example. I had a lady that came to me in her 40s, and she came to me and she told me absolutely she had no confidence and no self-esteem. And the reason she came to me is her friend talked her into applying for this job, and they actually hired her, and now she didn't know what to do. And she's sitting here talking to me, and she goes, you know, I have no confidence, I have no self-esteem, and I'm listening to her talk, and I said to her, well, you really do. And she goes, well, no, I don't. And we got into this argument. I said, you know, you're very confident in telling me that you have no self-esteem and no confidence because you've been doing it your entire life. And when she's telling me that she has no confidence and no self-esteem, she's sitting really tall and erect in the chair. She's projecting her voice. She's speaking with purpose and conviction. So she really does have confidence in telling you that she's not confident. And when she becomes aware of that in her mind, that she's using those resources, well, this is just like that, and moving those resources over and using them someplace else in her life.
Got it. Excellent. So your tagline says there are no limits. Does that mean that whatever it is that you want to be able to achieve and realize, that that's totally possible for you, no matter what.
I mean, I'm 5'6", so the thought of me being a center on an NBA basketball team is probably not a realistic thing for me to be.
Right.
I look at myself now physically, mentally, and spiritually, and I can tackle anything. And I think that if somebody has a big goal or a big dream, no one should tell them they can't do it. You know, part of the getting to the accomplishing what you want to accomplish is not getting to the end. It's the journey that takes you there. And sometimes along the journey are it's like a trip. Sometimes you go on a vacation and the journey changes along the way. It leads you to other things and other consciousnesses and other things you want to accomplish. So sometimes the journey starts out one way and takes you someplace else. The point is having that dream and having that vision and not letting anybody dissuade you from accomplishing it, not anybody talk you out of it. And if it means not sharing it with the people you know that are going to scare you away from it, then don't. Just have it in your mind and know that it's yours.
What advice would you give our listeners? Okay, so your first step was to make the decision. You became aware, and you knew that you had a life purpose. But how did you keep that mindset? What can you tell the listeners? What can they do to keep that mindset? Because it's so easy to fall back into the old habits. So how did you keep that? What did you do, and what steps can they take?
Well, Marilyn, I think you're correct. I think what happens a lot of times, we see that happen every year, right? The first week after New Year's, everybody joins a health club, and then a week later, they're all gone. And, you know, one of the things I try to tell people when I work with my clients is, you know, if you exercise on a regular basis, you go to the gym, you work out, and it'd be great if you could just do it one time and have the perfect body, don't you think? Wouldn't that be great? Okay, but that's not reality. Your reality is you got to do something every day or almost every day to work towards that. And your mind is exactly the same way. So what I do is I work with people and we create a daily routine, of exercising your mind, focusing on what you want. And because we face it, most of the stuff that goes on in our head is fairly negative. Most of the input we get from the world, unfortunately, is fairly negative. So what are some of the things you can do? The simplest thing that I could suggest anybody they could do right now today is to take a spiral notebook and every day commit to writing one page in that book. Take one page, and on that page, you want to write some things. One, you want to write on there your values and beliefs. You want to write your goals, your dreams, and your vision, and you want to state them in the present tense. So what does that mean? The two most powerful words in the English language are I am. Whatever you put after those two words defines you. Not only does it define you to the world, it defines you to yourself. So there's certain qualities, certain things you want to have. Write them out in the present tense. And you need to handwrite them, not typed on your computer. You need to handwrite them. There's tremendous impact on your mind by handwriting things. There's a lot of scientific research. We believe to what we write to be true. Doesn't matter whether it is or it isn't. We believe it to be true. And you need to act now how you want to be. You know, I work with people, and a lot of times they'll say, well, once I get here, or once I lose 100 pounds, I'll be happy, I'll be this, I'll be that. But it doesn't work that way. The reality is you've got to find that inside of you first, be happy, and then everything else follows. And you even see that in the business world. You think of a guy like Steve Jobs, we saw him at his pinnacle as the head of Apple. But the reality is when he was in the 1960s in his basement somewhere tinkering and nobody knew who he was, he already had the vision. He already knew where he was going to go. He already had that mindset. He was just waiting for the world to catch up to him. So in that journal, you want to write down all those things. I can tell you I have written in my journal every day for I don't know how many years, and I've written this statement when I was 350 pounds, and I write it today. I have a strong, lean, healthy, youthful body weighing 175 pounds that I maintain easily for the rest of my life. I've been writing it for years. I still write it, and now it's reality. We become what we think about all the time. The other thing you want to write in that journal is, all right, now you've stated the things you want, and you're stating them as if they've already happened in the present tense. I am, I have. Now you want to write down, what are you going to do today to make those things happen? What one or two things can be a tiny step just to move forward closer to what you want to accomplish? Write them down. And then you want to write down two, three, four things that you were grateful for in your life that day. Very simple. It's a very, very simple way to start. And it becomes a discipline. It becomes a routine. And you start training your mind to think in a certain way.
Scott, do you do this in the morning? Or do you... Do you do it in the morning? Do you do it in the evening? Okay.
Does
it matter?
I don't. You know what? What matters is what's right for you. If you want to do it both, it's even better. I have my routine. I get up early in the morning, and I throw on my workout clothes. I put some food in my body, and then before I turn on my computer or pick up my phone to check for messages, I meditate. I write in my journal, and I work on whatever talk I'm working on to give for a group. And then after I do that, and I read a little bit, then I turn on my computer.
Let me interject one second, right? Because you know, oftentimes when we tell our listeners things like this, when we hear things like this, we think, "Oh, well, I really don't have time. I'm so busy. I've got the kids. I've got work. I've got so many different things to do. How do I find time to be able to do it? Is time an issue?"
I'm so glad that you said that. When you hear that little voice in your mind saying, "Oh, I'm too busy. I can't do that," that is your limiting values of belief saying, we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is,
yes,
you can't make time for yourself. Here, if you spent a half an hour a day just on yourself, it's not very much time during the day, a half hour a day just on you, that would be 182 mm-hmm. and a half hours a year, or 40-hour work weeks just working on you. Think about that. If
wow.
I sent you away for 4.5 weeks, and you spend 40 hours of each of those weeks just working on you, would you come back a different person?
Well, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You're doing that by doing that a half hour a day. And then, you know, how could you – everybody can find – if you can't find a half hour a day for yourself, there's something wrong.
Absolutely.
And it's that little voice in you saying, you know what, I don't really want to do this.
Mm.
And to be honest with you, and one of the reasons people resist change is it's our human nature. You know, mm-hmm. they used to say that, you know, human beings' highest – purpose was survival, but in the words of Virginia Satir, who was a very famous psychiatrist, she said that's not true. She said that really our greatest and highest purpose is familiarity, because we will choose a habit that we are familiar with that eventually will kill us over something that is different and at its worst would be better than what we're doing now, because it's change and it's different, and we like to do what we're familiar with. And a lot of clients I work with, especially for weight loss, when they come to see me, I tell them right up front, you're going to reach a point of resistance where you're not going to want to do this. And that little voice in your mind, that belief that you should be heavy, is going to fight back. And they're not even aware of it when it happens. They'll miss appointments. They'll stop doing what they're supposed to be doing. The little voice says, oh, you were so good this week. Take the week off, or don't do it this day. It's only one day. What difference does it make? And when that happens, lots of times, one day you wake up, and I know it happened to me. I was heavier than I ever was before in my life. And it really applies to all the areas of your life, financially, your goals, your dreams, everything. So it's a question of and the thing is, if you can train your mind with a daily routine, you begin to change how you think, you begin to change how you believe and how you perceive yourself.
You know, one of my mentors early on said, made this statement, he said, the most powerful words you will ever hear are the words you say to yourself.
Oh,
and
they
so
are.
What you're expressing is exactly playing out of that aphorism that you believe what you say, right? And so if you can tell yourself the right thing, then that lends itself to you then doing the right thing. Is that correct?
I couldn't agree with you more. I had what I usually teach people is very simple and basic, and I use those words a lot because the things that are complicated, we'll never do because we don't want to do them. I had a very, very wise, successful man say to me one time, he goes, Scott, if you want to become successful, the minor adjustments you need to make to become successful are usually so simple and so basic that the average person will see them as being ridiculous, and they will not. So that's a powerful statement, but it's true.
Marilyn, last week at the MMI, I think the trainer said, "What's easy to do is easy not to do." Right? That's what Harv often says.
Right, and a lot of the things that Scott was mentioned at that seminar, and one of them, I think one good idea that they gave to everyone there was to write 5 successes every day. And when you start doing that, you actually start looking for things to do so that you can be successful, because a lot of times you go around thinking about what you didn't accomplish and feeling bad about it. So when you start focusing on what you're successful at, you're training your subconscious mind to look for successes. And if you do that every day, you're training yourself and you're training your mind, conditioning your mind to look for success and to achieve success. And you start with the smaller goals. And you start, if you don't accomplish the small goals, what makes you think that you're going to accomplish your bigger goals? So start with the small goals. Start with that. And then you're gonna be training yourself that you're having success, that you're being successful. And then you go on to the bigger goals.
Fantastic.
Another thing that Scott mentioned a lot, he talked a lot about taking care of yourself mentally and emotionally, because we feed our bodies very healthy foods in order to be fit, physically fit, and feel good and feel energetic. And if we feed it junk food, we're not going to feel great. But if we do the same thing with our mind and feed our mind every single day, that's why every day I listen to audio tapes and how do I talk to myself, and we want to feed our minds positive every single day, and that's how we're going to get mentally fit, the same way we get physically fit.
Excellent point.
You know, the human mind makes change two ways. Repetition over and over. And by the way, when I say makes change, it's good or bad change. So repetition over and over makes an impact on your subconscious mind. So when you start creating a new routine, you do it over and over again. And then the other way we make change is in highly emotionally charged situations, we can make change in an instant. And so using repetition, all the bad habits and the values and beliefs we have were caused by repetition, usually from when we were kids. So we can change those things if we really want to, but we've got to keep at it and we've got to keep doing it. And you've got to just start with small baby steps. You know, people get excited. They want to make a change. And again, I'll go back to the thing, you know, everybody makes the New Year's resolution to lose weight. And they get really enthusiastic. They want to do this. January 2nd, they start this ridiculous diet. They go to the gym, and they're going on adrenaline. They get themselves all hopped up. They go to the gym, and they lift weights, and they get on the treadmill, and they do a ton, and they got this adrenaline pumping. And then the next day, they wake up, and they can't move. And then they say, I'm not going to do that again. So little steps every day. You know, every little step in the long term equals a giant trip. So little incremental steps. We need to learn to be patient, and we have to learn to love ourselves. A lot of the people I work with, when they come to see me, and I work with some very highly successful business people, they don't have a lot of unconditional love for themselves. And if you really, truly find your unconditional love for yourself, you're not going to do anything that you want to hurt yourself. It just doesn't, the two things don't go together.
You started talking about the business people and things that you work about, and I see on your site, BAGUBA, is that how it's pronounced?
Well, it's an acronym I got. In junior high school, we used to have a wrestling coach. And we used to, every week he would give out a T-shirt, and it said BAGUBA on it. And it stood for, I use the acronym, brutally aggressive guy or girl that is uninhibited by adversity. It's the acronym. It didn't necessarily went to the person every year or every week in wrestling that won. It was the one who showed the most tenacity and who worked the hardest. So that name is always stuck in my mind, and I use that acronym. I work with athletes, and usually, for me, athletes and salespeople are exactly the same. They're very competitive. They're looking for an edge, and they're looking to get better. And even with salespeople, I noticed they have a lot of them have a lot of limiting beliefs. A lot of them are making very good incomes, but they get stuck at a certain level. And what's happened to, and they don't know why. They don't know why they can't get over this certain mark. It's just like it's like a wall. And what happens is a lot of them grew up where they didn't have a lot, and they heard things at home all the time. They're limiting beliefs like, well, people that make a lot of money are bad. You got to be evil to make a lot of money. You got to be dishonest to make a lot of money. And somewhere in their mind, they get to that level where it's considered for them, and it's different for all of them, what a lot of money is. And that little voice kicks in and says, you're not a bad person, so stop doing this. And they get stuck. So it's going in there, getting rid of those limiting values and beliefs, and let them know that it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. So,
fantastic.
It's fun. Same thing for athletes. Athletes, the biggest issue they have is their consistency. They're really good. They're okay. They have a really terrible performance. But once they've had that great performance, all that information is stored inside of their mind. Every experience, how they were breathing, how they were thinking, how they were smelling and tasting and hearing are all there. And all you have to do is go back, access it, pull it out, and then show them a way where they can use it anytime they choose to and just on recall boom, use it and be in that state, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and they'll perform the same way again.
Wow, this is some fantastic information. We're coming down to the end of our program, but I did want to give you a moment to talk about the book that you co-authored with Deepak Chopra, Jack Canfield, and Dennis Waitley, Stepping Stones to Success. You want to talk about that a little bit?
I co-wrote that. I wrote a chapter in there, and it's basically a chronology of my life and how I got from where I was to where I am now. And right now I'm writing a new book, and it's going to be the whole thing. There's going to be processes in there for people to use, and I'm in the process of writing it right now, and that book's going to be called Your Ultimate Visionary Mind, Transforming Your Life in 30 Minutes a Day. And,
wow.
I'm excited about that. I've got a bunch of things coming up, and I am working on that right now, and I get excited every time I sit down in front of the computer and start typing. So.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, you know, we're really appreciative of the time that you took to be on our program today and sharing with our listeners. You've done exactly what we try to do every month, and that's lend great value to people to transform their lives. If you would, one more time, just give our listeners your contact information, please.
Well, I'll give you some. I'll even give you a phone number, too.
Great.
You can reach me. You can reach me at ultimatevisionarymind.com, or you can email me at scott@ultimatevisionarymind.com. Or if somebody wants to call me, they can call me. It's 847-331-5848.
Wow. Thank you so very much, Scott. You've given us access as well as information. Well, Marilyn, is there anything you want to ask or share, Scott, with our listeners before we go?
Yes, I just want to tell our listeners that I have three beliefs, and we should have three beliefs to make that decision. And the three beliefs is that it must change now, I must change it now, and I can change it now. And if this is true, make the effort today, start it today, go toward defining who you are today and who you want to become, and not living by the past, but going ahead, living into your future.
Oh, fantastic. Well, yeah, thank you so very much. Well, again, Scott, thank you for being on our program today. I hope we can have you back again in the future, you know, to share some more with us and with our listeners, because, like I said, we want to make sure we continue to give people value. But thank you for the time that you took today to be with
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very pleased to have you.
Thank you so much for that. All that inspiring, those inspiring words. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, here we are once again at the end of another Paradigm Shifters. Again, we thank you, our listening audience, for taking the time to be with us today. We hope that you not only have listened to this information, but you look to apply it in your life to get a result, because that's what life's about. It's not about amassing more information for information's sake. It's about applying it to be able to get better and consistent results in our life. And so we certainly hope that you do that and take advantage of the information. So, again, until next time, this is Steve Duncanson, Mario Casio, thanking you for listening to Paradigm Shifters, and we look forward to sharing with you again next month. Between now and then, God bless. Take care.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Everyone. God bless.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.